punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. She is just a little more chilly than she was yesterday. Currently, it's 44 degrees, wind chilled. I get to do some wind chills now. 38 degrees is the wind chilled. Nathan Brewer dew point is 34. The humidity is 66%, so that tells me that there'll be no peanut thrashing or cotton stripping going on right now. And the wind is out of the northeast at 14 miles an hour, gusting up to 18 miles an hour. And I will have you the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up later in the show, so don't miss that. Well, I got to tell you about a little adventure I went on this morning. So I got up early, got down there west of Willow, down in the breaks, feed my cows this morning before I met the big boss, Double B, Blake Brewer, at the Haystack Diner in downtown Willow, Oklahoma. And we went on a tour of the whole town, and we're going to have more about our adventures later, coming later, maybe next week. And we'll talk about that. But the diner was great. The breakfast was great. Went across the street. And yesterday, a new store opened in downtown Willow. And it's called The Mercantile. And Brianna McGee was in there. Got to meet her. And that's Dalton's wife. Then we went next door to the Julie's Beauty Shop. And Julie there was in there, and she was very nice to her grandpa and Blake, but not so cool with me because I've been trying to get her to come on the show with her and her husband and the kids, and she just like she told me to get out before I even got the door closed. But anyway, no, she's got it going on there. And then next door is the Mesquite Retreat, which Renee Vincent Fight's daughter runs. That's a massage deal there. And then next to it is the Ignite Fitness Center that's owned by Ashley Brewer and her husband. But my informant that was doing this tour, giving us this tour, me and Blake's tour, he informed me that this is the secret spot that Janae Ripito comes to do her workout every week. And so now I know where she's going. So anyway, she's going down there getting fit. Well, she needs to be fit because I'm sure she has to slap Chad around every now and then and Indian wrestling's a little bit. But anyway, we got more on what's happening in Willow coming next week. But if you guys get a chance, you can check out the Haystack Diner on the Facebook. And that Haystack omelet I had this morning was awesome. And so go check it out down there and check out the store. And like I said, there's a beauty shop, a retreat there for massage, and a fitness center, all in the big downtown of Willow. So that was my adventure this morning after I fed the cows before I came to work. Well, yesterday I was in my travels around Carter. I was getting some stuff done at the farm, helping my landlord with his water well to his house. We had to pull it, put a new pump on it and stuff, and rewire it and whole nine yards, got it going. But as I come to the four-way in Carter, I notice there's a trail of peanuts on the blacktop. Well, some poor truck driver is not going to like his next paycheck. That's all I can tell you. Because this morning, that trail went through downtown Willow, too. And I followed it back to Elk City, and I lost the trail at Triggers on 152 South Elk. So some poor truck driver is going to be really poor after this happens. Because that's a lot of peanuts scattered between from where I seen it on the blacktop between Triggers and Willow, and the trail went west of Willow, so I have no clue where he probably headed to Wellington, but anyway, so that poor guy, oh my gosh, anyway, that's a had to be a whole truckload of peanuts, because I could trail it, so, and I'm not even a scout, so anyway, but on to our my first ritual, first segment with grain prices. Oklahoma cash grain prices is of 11 a.m. this morning. Hard red winter wheat is $7.62 a bushel. Corn is $5.69 a bushel. Milo is $5.72. And soybeans is at $11.75. So they're holding pretty steady. And the prices on wheat is really good. Well, soybeans and corn were higher in overnight trading as the pace of harvest slowed from the previous week. Around 79% of the U.S. soybean crop was collected as of Sunday, up from a 73% last week, according to the USDA. That gain was less than 13% increase seen in the previous week. Some 74% of the U.S. corn was in the bin at the start of the week, up from 66% 7 days earlier. Producers harvest 13% of the corn crop a week earlier. Rain in key areas last week caused growers to decelerate the pace of planting. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading after the USDA reduced its ratings on the winter varieties that were recently planted. About 87% of the winter wheat crop was planted in the U.S. as of Sunday, up from 80% a week earlier and just ahead of the prior five-year average of 86%, according to the USDA. 67% of the crop has emerged from the ground. Some 45% of the crop was in good or excellent condition at the beginning of the week, down from 46% a week earlier. Still, that's up from the 43% that earned top ratings during the same period last year. Soybean futures for November delivery, 5 3/4 to 12 and 5. It went up to $12.54 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal added $2.70 to $3.31.80 a short ton, while soy oil rose 0.04 cents to $62.01 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was up 2 cents at $5.81 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 6 1/4 to $8.03.5 a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 5 1/4 to $8.11.75 a bushel. Export inspections of grains and beans all declined week to week, according to the USDA. Corn assessments in the 7 days that ended October 28th fell to 619,340 metric tons, down from 634,864 tons a week earlier. That's also down from the 740,612 metric tons assessed for offshore delivery during the same week a year earlier. Soybean inspections totaled 2.27 million metric tons, and while still a lofty amount, fell behind the previous week at 2.57 million tons, according to the USDA. At the same point last year, the USDA examined 2.39 million tons for metric tons for overseas delivery. Wheat assessments last week totaled 115,341 metric tons, down from 197,479 tons a week earlier, and 313,355 tons during the same week last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the government has expected 5.42 million metric tons of corn for offshore delivery, down from 6.9 million tons during the same time frame a year earlier. Soybean examinations since the beginning of September are now at 10.9 million metric tons, well behind the 17.2 million tons assessed the same period last year. Wheat inspections start, and since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st, now stand at 9.65 million metric tons, trailing the 11.4 million tons assessed last year. Well, as we all know, cold weather has moved in. So cold weather continues in parts of the Midwest with freeze warning and freeze watches issued in parts of Missouri and Indiana this morning. Well, I was watching some of that Monday night football game last night because we had some locals from the Sarah area attending the game at Arrowhead in Kansas City. And every time you see those players or somebody talking, there was some fog coming out of their mouth, so it was pretty chilly up there last night. But according to the National Weather Service, temperatures in northern Missouri fell as low as 28 degrees overnight. The National Weather Service said in its report the warning is in effect till 9 a.m. In central Illinois, temperatures dropped to 29 degrees overnight. Further south into Missouri and Arkansas and eastern Oklahoma, there's a freeze watch in effect. Temperatures were expected to drop as low as 31 degrees Fahrenheit overnight. In the southern plains, meanwhile, some light rain and drizzle is in the forecast for this morning. The light rain will increase across Oklahoma late this afternoon and continue through the overnight areas. After midnight, the rain might be mixed with some light snow up in the panhandle of Oklahoma. Should light snow develop, if any accumulation is expected, it's less than a half inch. Well, now for the bad news. My co-partner on the first couple of segments on Tuesday, she got messed over on her schedule, according to the text message she sent me, Miss Lacey Lowry. Lacey Swope. She texted me and said that she's doing the noon show. So I'm guess somebody, will somebody turn on their TV if they're at home and see if she's on the show? Because I accused her of going deer hunting and she said, you never know. But anyway, I did ask her if how much rain we're going to get out here. And here's the bad news. She said for our listening area, mainly from Clinton West, it's going to be anywhere from a trace to a quarter inch at the most. And I checked the radar a while ago before the show started. It's starting to develop. Things are starting to develop. There's showers coming in there south of Eric and towards the Delhi area. According to the radar, I don't have a visual on it, but it's probably just a heavy mist. It might not even be hitting the ground. I don't know. But anyway, it's going on. So Lacey's not going to be on today, but she's coming back next week, she said, if she don't get messed around on her schedule. She's a popular woman. That's all I can say. And I've been looking on TikTok for her and her beautiful little daughter to see if they're doing one of those Brooks and Dunn's neon moon dances that's hitting Facebook, all social media. So I don't know if you guys caught on to that. There's a lot of dancing been going on social media. But I'd rather have that going on than the crap going on with the government or any politics or stuff. So anyway, it's fun to watch some of the daughters and mothers out there dancing and friends and stuff. So anyway, it's pretty cool. When we get back, as you guys always know, it's Heyday Tuesday on Today in Ag. So we'll get back. We'll start talking some hay prices. Got some stuff on nitrogen, and some of it's good news, some of it's bad news on fertilizer. So it's happening. Well, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Bam! We're back. Hey, if you guys get a chance, get on social media and get on Lacey Swope's Facebook page and either message her or do something and tell her how highly disappointed you guys are that, you know, she couldn't make it on the show today and last week. And, you know, she should figure out, I mean, they got a powerhouse of people working up there. She should figure out, if she's doing the noon show, how she could combine her show with the Day in Ag show. And I'll be on TV and she'll be on radio and it'll be a great show. And you can listen to the Day in Ag show on the Paragon Communications app on your phone while you're watching me and her on TV. See how that'd work out really good, because you guys need to download that app anyway. But coming up later this week, Thursday, the new edition of Penny News will be out. And I got a new Jimmy Tip of the Week coming in that deal. And we got all the sponsors of our show are on those page 4 and page 5. And you guys need to check it out. And you need to shop local and help all of our vendors out and companies in our local area. And our local area is a listening area, is a big area. We go to Hobart, to Altus. I pick it up in Vernon. And we go out to Shamrock, Wheeler, all the way up to Arnett, clear over to Watonga, back down there between Weatherford and El Reno or Hinton, right in that area. So we got a big listening area. So anyway, we've got, and I appreciate everybody that's listening to the show. And it's so far, all these people that bet on me when the show started, they've lost money on me, how long I was going to make it. And here we are. We're in month 4 and going strong. I feel like I'm getting better at it, more comfortable at it, and got this, I'm getting this control board down. But that's not saying I won't make a mistake. But anyway, let's start out with some hay markets from yesterday. And I'll just randomly pick some from the USDA hay deal on alfalfa. California, $230 to $330 a ton delivered. That's for premium alfalfa, and for good alfalfa, $191 to $235. I want to meet the guy that gave $191 a ton for good alfalfa. How in the heck did they come up with $191? Why not round it off to $190 or $195? But $191, let's go with it. Colorado, $250 for premium, $240 for good. So not a lot of difference there. Idaho, $250 to $265 for premium. Nothing available on the good side. Let's go on down to Kansas. $170 to $400 a ton for premium alfalfa. And that $400 a ton is delivered. And good hay, good alfalfa is $150 to $200. Let's mosey on down to Missouri. $160 to $250 on premium. $120 to $160 on good. And let's hit Nebraska. That sounds like a good state. Ah, let's hit Montana. Those numbers are bigger. $325 to $375 a ton for premium. $320 to $325 a ton for good. And that has nothing to do with delivery. And even on their fare, they're giving $275 to $300 a ton. So, you know, those states up there, they're in the middle of that drought. And if people are giving that kind of money for their hay, you know, because Montana is the number one alfalfa growing state in the United States. The last time I checked, I'm sure it's changed, but because of the weather, they got a lot of irrigation up in there. Guy I worked with in Wyoming, he had 9 pivots of alfalfa in Montana, so he's got it going on. They grow a lot of beautiful hay up there. Their season's a little shorter than ours, but they still grow some hay. Oklahoma, 180 to 190 on premium and 140 to 165 on good. Let's hit Texas, 250 to 325 on premium, that's delivered, and 230 to 260 on good, and that's delivered, and 175 on fair, and that's delivered, and that ought to get it right there. Wisconsin, 295 a ton for premium, and Wisconsin's one of those states in the drought too. So let's go down here to grass hay prices. I haven't talked to my informant in Beckham County on what grass is really going for around here, but I'm going to take a wild guess out there. I know what's going on. Alabama, 110 to 340 delivered for per ton for premium grass hay, 90 to 110 for fair, or for good, I'm sorry. Iowa, Kansas, 125 to 140 for premium, 70 to 140 delivered on good. Missouri, 140 on premium, 80 to 100 on good. Nebraska, 150 to 200 on premium, 160 on the fair. And no signs of Oklahoma on this grass report. But there's Texas. There's my buddies out west of here in the eastern parts of Texas Panhandle. 160 to 330 on premium, 120 to 275 on fair, good. And I'm guessing that's delivered. There's not a D there, but that must be some really good hay if it wasn't delivered for $275 a ton. Anyway, if anybody there in the show today, my KCO Ag text line is open. If anybody's got any hay they want to sell, just text me. Text it into it. I'm not running an Aggio, not a Tradio, but anyway, I'll help you guys out any way I can. Also, if anybody's got some knowledge or has one, cow sale coming up or a bull sale, anything coming up, we got some stuff I got announced that's going on at Hobart and Apache later in the show. And I got the results last night from Brandon Hickey for the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction and the Elk City Livestock Auction. Got them results last night. He had some big sales, 2,000 head at Elk City, 17, I'll read that in a minute, but 1,600 or 1,700 head at Clinton yesterday. Tomorrow, the Hobart Stockyards will be having their weekly sale going on, and you can contact Mr. Rex Smiley Fleming for any buying or selling needs that you got going on. Man, that didn't take long. I got a text message. For sale. Here we go. You guys listening? For sale. Round bales. Fertilized love grass. $50 a bale north of Sayre. If you're interested in buying that, that's fertilized love grass. Be all right. That's a pretty good price. $50 a bale for fertilized love grass. Contact 580-515-0779. I know that number. When'd you learn how to text, old man? He don't even know how to text. His wife must be texting for him. Anyway, 100 round bales, fertilized love grass, $50 a bale, north of Sayre, up there between Sayre and Grimes, 515-0779. I know for a fact that man puts up his A good. So anyway, that's a pretty good price on love grass. So give the man a call, 100 bales. Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about hay testing in particular, and we got some fertilizer notes to talk about, and then you know me, I love cattle. We're going to talk some cattle things going on in our listening area and outside of our listening area, and I got one story from Washington that I'm going to go over with that sometimes I hate to read them, but it's the news, and you guys need to know about it, so you guys hang tight with me. I'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
We learned in grade school 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 + 2 = 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. Yep, I'm wearing my Purina hat given to me by the Farmers Union Co-op down here on Main Street, Elk City, and Barnes Feed Service. Old George down there, he take care of you. He's got some good mixture of feed recipes down there. Got some lot of good equipment. I've told you guys about it before. We got a single axle feeder from him for, you know, got the ramps on it and everything for baby calves to get into and the bigger cows can't get into. And that's the coolest trailer with those handles that raise and lower the slide gates on the side instead of taking a fence post or a pry bar or whatever you got that you don't want to mess with when it's 20 below zero out there. So anyway, check them guys out down at Hobart. Hobart's a pretty cool town. They got all kinds of good stuff to shop for down there. My next adventure at Hobart, maybe if it warms up, I want to go check their golf course out. Speaking of golf course, last Saturday, we went to Childress, and on my way to Childress from Sayre, there was some, over there especially there at Hex and Eric and over by Texola, there's some awesome looking cotton, and I even seen a couple of pivots on the highway there that's already been dug of peanuts. It's hard to tell how good the peanuts are from the highway, but looks like the windrows were pretty good size. But the cotton, it's amazing how great a cotton that we grow in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas panhandle, because from Shamrock South going towards Childress through Wellington, through that area on the highway there, there's a lot of dry land cotton, but there's also a lot of irrigated cotton through that area, and they got cotton running out their ears, and a lot of good-looking crops out there. Congratulations, farmers, on doing a good job of growing a great crop on the land that you till. So, anyway, congratulations on that. Let's get back to the hay, because today's Hay Day. Hay Day Tuesdays. Hay testing moves to the critical category. It's not that testing forages shouldn't always be a member of the must-do category. It just pushes higher up the list as the upcoming winter approaches. Supplemental feeding is going to be more expensive this winter with higher prices for both protein and energy. Mistakes made on the amount of supplement fed will have a greater impact on the bottom line in the current feed price environment. And that is not fake news. That's telling it like it is right there. With higher supplement costs comes the fact that hay quality is more variable this year because weather was more variable or, in some cases, extreme. Hay is hay. Simply won't cut it on most farms. There's some farms still around that think just a bale of hay is a bale of hay, but that's not true at all. And I kind of like this deal because we do it. I do it at my place, and I do it for my son's cattle. We feed three bales of either wheat hay, rye hay, or grass hay, and then we I feed a bale of alfalfa. And I just cake ever so often for two reasons. Number one, to get them cows away from me because I got them spoiled. They'll run you over. And they just love it when I pull in the pasture. And the other fact is, you know, that alfalfa hay is just as good as feeding cake as far as I'm concerned. And the hay that I feed tests anywhere from 20 to 22-23% protein in that hay. And the thing about it is, you don't know if each cow gets their fair share of that bale of alfalfa. But if you want to drive down there to Willow, or you want to drive out here East Elk City where I got some heifers and check my cattle out, you'll see that they're not starving to death. We take care of them. One of the advantages of a hay testing program is to determine the lowest ration cost possible to maintain expected animal performance, says Rodney Lemus. He's an extension forest specialist with the Mississippi State University. To demonstrate how different forage types can vary in their ability to meet beef cow nutrient demands, he's provided some graphs in a recent issue in the Forage News. Note the variation is seen in sample forages, and I'm going to go through it with you. And you guys, it's a picture, but I want you guys to picture this. Silage, the TDN was low. The CP was medium. On mixed grass, the TDN, the graph goes up a little bit. It's about, I'm guessing in there around 4. And Bermuda grass, is the CP is off the chart. They got annual rye grass, and then there's nothing on the TDN, but the CP is getting up there close to 15. So anyway, he says, just to give a good example, an accurate hay analysis hinges on obtaining a representative sample. A composite sample should always be collected from the entire lot, not one bale. A lot means hay that was harvested and stored under the same conditions. When collecting a hay sample, he recommends taking subsamples from about 10% of the total bales by coring it at 18 to 24 inches into the bale. Collect samples at least 2 weeks post-baling. The best time to sample is close to feeding time. If this is feasible, in the case of balage, collect samples at least 35 days from post-wrapping to ensure proper fermentation has taken place. Once a composite hay sample is obtained, send it to a lab that is certified by the National Forage Testing Association. And we have them. We send them off to OSU. You can send them off to Texas A&M out in Amarillo. There's all kinds of places you can do. And if for you guys that don't know, and I'm sure the majority of you do know, you can stop by your local OSU Extension office, get a tool to do your hay sample or build your own, get the bags, and get them sent off on this side. And then over there in Texas, do the same thing. Stop by your local Texas A&M office and get those and do the same thing. And I'm sure they'll send it off to Amarillo for you. He notes that data can be obtained from a hay analysis and can be inputted into the Mississippi State hay calculator to determine deficiencies in a nutrient value. Not all hay is created equal, and there's a significant variation in nutrient content within a particular type of forage species based on maturity, fertilizer, temperature, and conditions at harvesting and baling. When using hay produced on the farm or purchasing hay, develop a feeding program based on individual livestock requirements. Proper ration balancing begins with the hay testing so that you can know what is being fed. I highly recommend that when you buy a lot of hay from somebody, I'm not saying anybody would screw you over out there buying hay because they're just telling you it's hay. But a lot of hay, not a lot, but some of the hay doesn't get put up just right. So if I was buying 50 bales or 100 bales or anything of the, whether it be wheat hay, rye hay, grass, whatever, I myself just go get the tool and go get it, test it, and then make the deal afterwards, because you just got to know what you're getting. I mean, if you've been buying from somebody for a long time and you trust them, that's one thing. But I've heard of people going clear from our listening area, going over into eastern Oklahoma, buying some grass hay or something. I would ask them to get you a hay sample and hope they were honest with it. And because there's all farmers and ranchers are honest out there. I mean, they're just totally honest. But for your benefit, as high as feed prices are getting right now, you need to see what you're feeding, and that way you can adjust your feed price, your feeding pattern to that deal. Well, I'm going to take one more break, and we're going to come back. But first of all, I want to tell you guys that I seen it on social media, and I always help out our local people, Monty Tucker and Danielle out there around Sweetwater. They, if your guys are interested, they've got beef that's going to be taken to get processed for sale. Half bees, quarter bees, they got all kinds. Just check out the Tucker Cattle, Family Cattle Facebook page, and get in touch with Danielle and Monty and buy beef from them. Like I said, I've said it for a month now, and you guys are probably kind of getting sick of me saying it, but I'm going to preach it. Buy local beef, get it processed local. There's no use in going somewhere else outside our listening area and buy beef when we have everything you need right here, and we got all kinds of processors now. We got Sayre, Shamrock, Altus, Burns Flat, Canute times two. I think the one in Wheeler's open. I'm not sure. I hope somebody texts in and let me know if that one at Wheeler's open now. We got one at Wellington, Texas, and we got a new one going in at Thomas. We have 54 at Weatherford, and I know I'm missing somebody again. But anyway, buy local and get it processed local, and think of the money you're saving too. Get one close to you. Save on fuel, traveling way away to get beef. Or I'm not trying to take anything away from our local grocery stores at all, but, you know, there might be a war coming next year or this winter, and you guys might need to stay at home. So you might as well get a half a beef bought right now, if not a whole one. Get her saved up, and let's go with that. So anyway, please buy local and help out the Tucker family too. They have some awesome beef between them and the Taylors, and we got the Delps, and we got all kinds of people that raise beef around here. Get her done. And then anyway, we'll be right back with some. I got the reports from Elk City and Clinton Livestock Auction right after this break. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 1st. 1,590 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 402 brought 185. 6 at 492 brought 160. 12 at 645 brought 158. 57 at 711 brought 160. 25. 5 at 884 brought 152. 9 head of heifers at 351 brought 163. 18 at 559 brought 145. 7 at 591 brought 142. 10 at 629 brought 143. 9 at 646 brought 150. 25. Butcher cows were 20 to 78. 50. Bred cows 700 to 12. 85. Butcher bulls brought 64 to 86.50. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back, and temperature is 45 degrees outside, wind chill 39, and let's see what we got here. Winds are out of the northeast at 13 miles an hour, gust up to 17. Today, 50% chance of rain showers. Tonight, 70% chance of rain showers. Tomorrow, 30% chance of rain showers and 48 for a high. We're actually at our high for today at 45. Tomorrow night, 38. Going to get a little chilly tomorrow night. Thursday, 55 for a high. Low of 36 Thursday night. Friday, mostly sunny. Look at that. We got south winds at 8 to 17 forecasted for Friday with a whopping 62 degrees, but it's going to get a little chilly, 39 degrees. And Saturday, we got 68 for a high with light winds. So beautiful. It looks like Friday and Saturday are going to be nice. We get back to doing our harvest of peanuts and cotton and finish up some wheat planting that some people's got going on some of the peanut ground or some of the people that hadn't got their wheat planted. I've seen some people planting some around yesterday. But anyway, Friday, if it's really nice and the humidity's low about lunchtime, I'm going to randomly call a cotton farmer out there stripping cotton and see if we can get one of them to talk to me. But I'm going to call till somebody answers. So anyway, we're going to get that done. Also, our OSU Extension officer here for Beckham County wanted me to let you guys know they're having a silent auction on November 9th, and that's coming up next week. There will be two ways to bid: Beckham County's 4-H Facebook page and in person at the Beckham County Fairgrounds in Sayre. And that'll be from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. November 9th. The money will be used to pay for 4-H travel expenses to and from competitions and events. For more information or to donate an item for the auction, please contact Zach Henderson at the Extension office at 928-2139. Or you can email him if you want to. Zach, Z-A-C-K, dot Henderson at okstate.edu. And he's actually going to be on the show next week in the Beef Program campus at OSU in Stillwater's got something up their sleeve. So we're going to find out about that next week. So anyway, and we had a text message that I wanted to read. Oh, heck yeah. Hobart Golf Course is pretty nice for a small town. 9 hole. Thank you, sir, for whoever you are. Anyway, thank you for that information. I'm sure about 70% of these farmers and ranchers out here don't care. But I know there's a lot of golfers in the ag industry in Sayre and Elk City and Hobart and Shamrock. So I don't want to hear you whining about me talking about golfing. So anyway, if not, it is what it is. Well, you guys know how I am about wildlife. So did the winter storm Uri set back the biological clock? Did the bitter storm cold week we endured last February have any lingering effects it seems to have on some plants and Bob White and scale two? Seems to me the plant, the sequence of growth and reproduction was delayed by 3 weeks at least. Take, for example, western ragweed. Normally, seeds of western ragweed are abundantly evident by late October, but my recent spot checks at several locations in Texas and Oklahoma has perplexed me. I studied our ragweeds pretty closely this past few weeks, and most years I assume all is well. I even noticed a flower on one specimen, something that I've never noticed before. The antler stalks, the male flowers that produce the pollen that most people mistakenly think that are seeds but are not, are no more than half through their normal length, and the most endowed seed producer I found only had 3 seeds. This is not good unless it fully matures. And the reason why I say that is because I noticed that. I've been noticing a lot of ragweed, and I'm thinking, man, late October's and first November is when it should be full blast growing, because if some of you don't know, ragweed is the number one food source for quail, just like the milkweed is for monarch butterflies. Same thing. It's very same. Broomweed plants were still flowering as of last week. Not unusual for around here, but it can make seeds depending on the timing of its first freeze. And I've seen lots of broomweed between Shamrock and where'd we go the other day? Childress, sorry. I had a brain freeze there. There was a lot of, them pastures were yellow. So woody plants like hackberry, cat claws, tickle tongue, all produce good seeds for Bob Whites. I didn't see any chitim at RPQRR with seeds, but did find two trees at my place in southwestern Oklahoma that had a moderate yield. But I have yet to see a hackberry with seeds, and I haven't either because I've been out in the woods quite a bit here in the last week or two. Other woody plants, tickle tongue and prickly pear, produce a prolific crop of seeds. Plant is impacted by soil temperatures, rainfall, and day length, to name a few. I pay closer attention to such botanical happenings next summer for sure and encourage you to do the same. Have you checked your quail's pantry for the upcoming winter? Will your property provide quail with a Thanksgiving feast, or will it be a hard candy Christmas? Now is a good time to inventory some of your common seed producers: western ragweed, doveweed, sunflowers, others. My last check, western ragweed was disconcerting, but it will still have plenty of time. To develop before we have a killing frost. Annual sunflowers, cowpen daisy, and American basket flowers seem to have relatively good seed production. So that's a good thing. As you shoot quail this year, break open the crop to get a good sense of foods used by quails in your area. Spread the seeds on a white background. Styrofoam plate will work. And snap a close-up of the photograph with your smartphone and email them to this gentleman. And I'll help you identify for future references. And that's coming from the Rolling Plains Quail Research Foundation at e.quail newsletter that I'm doing here. But I believe we may have underestimated the impacts of the snowy apocalypse for quails. Perhaps not accurately finding frozen birds to the ground. I only had one such report, but in a chronic sense, lingering effects of survival, both directly and indirectly. When they flew their helicopter and did counts last March, I remarked to the crew, "You can see why a hawk would have an easy time of preying on quail. Our grass cover was marginal, even though the bulk of the ranch hasn't been grazed in the past 10 years. As I suspect, grass cover conditions were poor on most sites. In the March issue of eQuail, Becky Rusinick, I guess I said that right, analyzed data from radio-colored quail, primary bobwhites, on the Rolling Plains from October 1st of 2020 to March 15th of 2021. She estimated daily survival of quail during four time intervals using multi-state MARC recaptured models and found no acute nor chronic effects of the October ice storm when compared to the period of time with no freezing precipitation. However, the December-January complex and February snowstorms were correlated with a chronic disease decrease in survival. On average, a quail was 2.5 times more likely to die during the December-January complex following the mid-February snowpox event. A quail was 4.5 times more likely to die. Interesting, acute effects of any storm were undetectable. This indicates that quail did not die directly from exposure in the cold and wet weather, but rather from predation in the weeks following the storm. So my take is on that is the reports I've been getting from our listening area down in the Greer County. There's areas of lots of quail. In Beckham County, there's spotted areas of lots of quail, fair and other parts of Beckham County. Warsaw County, not great. Greer County, or Kiowa County, not good either. Roger Mills and Ellis County are looking pretty decent. And out west in the Texas Panhandle is looking fair to good. But we go quail go through a cycle. So when we come out of that drought back in 15, there was some fairly good hunting going on in the fall of 2015. But that following year, like I said, they cycle. That following year in 2016, oh my God. It just makes you wonder how those quail do it because you don't ever see them. And I know Mother Goose didn't come in with the apron and flop out a covey quail on every intersection in the county. So that didn't happen. So anyway, they're survivalists. They got everything going against them. So make sure you go check on the ragweed if you're an avid quail hunter or you care about our wildlife because they're a major part of our ecosystem. Go check on them. And if the ragweed hadn't developed, the quail can starve to death in probably a week or less. Believe it or not, they can starve to death real quick. They got all these predators going against them. And hawks is one of them, but it's not the main one. Snakes are the main one. And the reports we've been getting on quail here in the last month to 6 weeks, there's a lot of young birds out there. So if you're an avid hunter, please, when you get a covey quail up, season is coming on pulling us here in just about 10 days. When you flush a covey of birds, if they look young, leave them alone. Save them for January. Them are the January birds. If they look like they're full grown, I don't care how many's in the covey, you can tell if they're full grown or not. And so leave them alone and go find you another covey of mature birds. And that's my Jimmy tip of the week for quail hunting. And we got muzzleloader was over last Sunday, and looks like there was some pretty nice deer killed during muzzleloader season in our area. So congratulations on that. And we got one more thing to talk about, and this is the part I don't want to talk about. Calc has announced cost increase for end stabilizers. The Calc Agronomic Services are reporting cost increase to some of its nitrogen stabilizer products due to increases in raw materials and logistic costs to make and distribute these products. The company announced new price increases November 1st, and that was yesterday. And we got our focus has been and will continue to be providing our customers with proven solutions growers can use to optimize their nitrogen rates and increase yield, said Mr. Greg Hunter, who is the Vice President of North American Sales for KAS, in a release from the company. The rise of input costs through 2021 has created a unique situation, and the value of nitrogen stabilizer has never been higher or more important for growers looking to get the most out of their nitrogen investment. Still, growers may want to continue fall application of nitrogen for the 2022 crop and continue the use of nitrogen inhibitors to protect the investment. Oh, I'm sure they want, hey, just because we're going up, that doesn't mean you got to use less. So anyway, typical sales deal. Along with the rising costs, the agriculture industry is also facing supply and logistical constraints. KAS recognized the situation earlier this year and leverages strong relationship with suppliers to ensure adequate supply of products for the upcoming season. The KAS procurement and supply chain teams have been working with our suppliers to secure raw materials to meet our customers' needs. We anticipated having products for our customers this fall. And we got one more tech. Lieutenant James, he said approximately 150 less deer reported harvested in Beckham County compared to the same time last year. Lieutenant James, how many of them weren't reported? How many wasn't reported? Anyway, so, hey, hope you guys enjoyed the show. Have a great day, and God bless. It's The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is KECO.